Good evening. All right, tonight we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. But before we get started, I did want to make sure that I was letting you all know that because the teen group is in here tonight, all right, there will be a pop quiz after service, okay? And it's for candy, all right? So we give out pieces of candy to anybody who passes the pop quiz. That's just a joke, all right? It's a pretty bad one, but that was something to get you going tonight, all right? So Ephesians chapter 6. And Pastor actually preached over the armor of God not too long ago. I believe it was February the 18th and then March the 3rd. He gave two different sermons over the whole armor of God. But tonight we're going to focus more specifically on verse number 18. And we're going to talk about effective petitionary prayer tonight. Effective petitionary prayer. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, it says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word, God. I thank you for how it's changed my life, God. And I pray that if there's someone here tonight that doesn't know you, Father, I pray that they would get that settled even tonight, God. Even in a prayer meeting on a Wednesday night in the South Jackson area, God, I know that you're still working. I know that you're working miracles every day. And Father, I pray that you would do that tonight. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I pray that we would submit ourselves to you tonight, God, and that you would speak. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what is petitionary prayer? All right, if we were having a pop quiz, this is number one. Okay, so what is petitionary prayer? Anybody? Y'all are leaving me hanging, man. Yes. Y'all left me hanging. We've talked about this like 3 or 4 weeks now. All right. Petitionary prayer, okay? The teens are still kind of asleep, so we're going to work on that. But petitionary prayer is a request of God for something, okay? It could be for God to do something specifically for us. It could be for God to do something for another person, okay? But there are five elements that I believe that the Word of God speaks true to about effective petitionary prayer. Vance Havner had this to say about prayer and specifically about petitionary prayer. He said, "Prayer is not simply about asking for what we believe we want. It is about having the courage to request profound change in ways that go beyond our limited imagination." You know, sometimes, especially as we get older, our imaginations start to shrink, right? Like, I have a 3-year-old at home, and a lot of times she is very imaginative, okay? Like, she went the other day to the window, and my grandfather's been dead for 5 years, okay? She went to the window the other day and said that she saw a man standing outside with my grandfather, and my grandmother's calling me, like, freaking out. She's like, "I don't know what's going on here. Like, I don't know how to help her." But young kids have an imagination, right? They can create anything with their mind. I said my daughter's 3 and my papa's been dead for 5 years. She never met him, but she said she saw him outside with another man, right? That imagination, all right, she's heard about him. She's created this picture of what he looked like. She's created who he was to her, right? And the imagination takes off. Well, I mean, we don't do that as much anymore. And if we do, all right, they give us some medicine and send us to a special place and say, you know, "You're all alone. We got to put you in a padded room," right? Adults don't have that type of imagination, right? We don't have that. But when we pray for petitions to God, that's exactly what we're doing. We're taking our limited imagination of what God can do, right? And we're pushing it out the window. We're taking a different stand, all right, against our own thoughts, our own flesh, really, and we're allowing God to put His will above our own. John Bunyan said this: "Prayer is a sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of the heart or soul to God through Christ in the strength and assistance of the Holy Spirit for such things as God hath promised or according to His word for the good of the church with submission and faith to the will of God." See, petitionary prayer, number one, it starts in the Spirit. Okay, it's all about the will of God. Okay,
The verse starts out, says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Jude 20 says this. It says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Right? We are supposed to pray in the Spirit. And as I studied this specifically, there were three things that kind of popped out to me about praying in the Spirit, about being in the Holy Spirit as we are in prayer. Romans 8:26-27 says this. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. See, praying in the Spirit is devoting ourselves to knowing God's will. Right? Being in the Spirit means that we are submitting ourselves before God so that it's not our will that's being done, but it's God's will through us. And I believe that the verse lays out very clearly that it only happens through being in the Word of God. Right? We only become in the Spirit by reading His Word, by being around other believers, by speaking to other believers about things that they're going through, and we'll get to that later. But not only is that, but it's praying in the will of God in a way that we know that God will answer in His time and His way all the time. Right? It may not be the answer that we're expecting. It may be another answer, right? For instance, we may be praying for healing for the physical body, but God gives healing in the spiritual realm, right? God takes the person from this world, all right? But that's not always what we prayed for. We prayed for them to be healed. Well, they are healed. They're spiritually healed being with Him. It's an understanding that God's will and His desires will become our desires. His motives become our motives, and His ends become our ends. It's all God. It's all about God. It's not anything to do with us or our heart. Praying in the Spirit is the will of God, and what God wills, He empowers as we let Him. Only by allowing God to speak through us, to speak in our minds, are we able to pray in the Spirit. 1 John 5 says this in verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. If we speak, if we utter those prayers in the understanding that it's God's will, not our will, then the Bible says that we'll have the desires of God, not of ourselves, right? It doesn't say that we'll have our desires. It says that we desired of Him. It's God's desires put into our hearts by the Spirit. Not only that, but we're given an example of praying in the Spirit by John in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 10. It says this, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. So, you know, sometimes we skip over that part of in the Spirit. Because when I think about that verse, I've never really stopped to say, well, what does it mean that John says, I was in the Spirit? Well, that means that he was devoting himself to spending time with God. Okay? Now, can we say that he was sitting still and that he was in meditation? I don't know. You know, some people talk about being in the Spirit and everything they do every day, right? I've heard as a student at college, we had to sit in chapel every Thursday morning. And there was a pastor who came in and he talked about continual prayer, which we'll talk about later. But this idea that we're always in the Spirit, that the fact that when we say amen, it's not an end. It's just the beginning of the rest of our day. It's the idea that God is now in control when we say that amen in the morning. And it's not over until we say that amen and lay our head down at night. That God is continually in control of us. And in every conversation, in everything that we do, in every action that we take, it should be all about God. And so looking back at John there in Revelation chapter 1, when he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, I believe that means that he was physically present with God. Now, we may not all be able to understand that, but that he had stopped so much in his life that he could feel God in him, right? And we understand that in the book of Acts, right, the apostles had this power that we no longer have. The Holy Ghost come upon them, and there was power given to the apostles that we don't have. But the Bible does say that we can still be in the Spirit. That power has not been taken from us. It's something that allows us to hear from God specifically. And John was revelation ready, right? He was ready at that point to receive what God had to say to us. Not only that, but the Holy Spirit gives us the power of God the Father. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, it says this: "For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." And that Spirit's capitalized, so that means the Holy Spirit, right? So by the Holy Spirit, we have access unto the Father. That means that we have the power of God when we're praying in the Spirit. That's how we understand His will. That's how His will becomes our will. Ian Bounds says this: prayer can do anything that God can do. Anything that God can do, prayer can do, if we submit ourselves to it and in His will. J. Oswald Sanders, who was a director of the China Inland Missions, talked about it this way when it came specifically down to prayer. He said, "The very fact that God lays a burden of prayer on our hearts and keeps us praying is prima facie evidence that He purposes to grant the answer. When asked if He really believed that two men for whose salvation He had prayed for over 50 years would be converted, George Mueller replied, 'Do you think God would have kept me praying all these years if He did not intend to save them?' Both men were converted, one shortly before and the other shortly after Mueller's death." This idea of praying in the Spirit is only through God's will. But number two, pray continually. Again, if you look back at the verse in Ephesians chapter 6, it looks like it should go first, and it probably should, but this is just how I came out with this outline, so I probably should have put this one first. I apologize. But pray continually is praying always, right? It's something that we should do all the time. It's not something that just comes and goes. It's something that we should be continual in. Like I said of the pastor that came and spoke to us while I was in college, just the idea that we should always be in prayer, having this continual time with God is what we should do. Acts 1:14 says this: "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brethren." 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we probably all know that verse. It's pray without ceasing, right? The idea that we are supposed to continually be in prayer. Philippians 4:6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And in Romans 12, verse 12, it says, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." Prayer is not something that we should just do when it feels comfortable. Prayer is not something that we should just do when we have a spare moment. Prayer is not something that we should do just because the kids are laid down and we have just a couple of moments to ourselves, right? Prayer is something that we should be doing all the time. It's something that God made available to us so that we could talk to Him at literally any moment. You know, teaching teens, one thing that I've learned is that their attention spans are not as long as some of ours, right? When I first started teaching about 8 years ago, our professors in college told us that if you couldn't captivate a teen in the first 5 minutes, then you probably lost them, right? You probably lost them for the rest of the class period. And class periods are 90 minutes. So I don't know how many of you have ever had 30 kids in a classroom for 90 minutes, but after about 5 minutes, you're ready to walk out of the classroom, okay? So as you're sitting there, okay, you have to continually do little things like this to keep them awake, okay? And they all jump, and then they're back awake, and then you can start preaching or you can start teaching again, okay? But the idea is, okay, that we should continually have that as well in our own hearts as we're talking to God, okay? That's the continual prayer. It's this idea that we're always in communication with God. We're not able to allow it to just pass to the side. We're not allowing it to be something that we put on the back burner, right? Coach Wheeler brought this up this morning in our prayer time as we met at school this morning. He said, you know, a lot of times people ask me to pray for them, and I just say, yes, I'll pray for you. But the idea of continual prayer is that right then we stop and we pray. It may not be something that we audibly do all the time. It may not be the right circumstance, or that person may be a little uncomfortable. And so it's reading the situation, right? It's understanding who we're around and why we're trying to influence them, because everything that we do is our testimony, right? So that opportunity may never come around again. If you have that opportunity to pray with somebody right there in opening, that's an opportunity for you to share the love of Jesus right then. But it may not be the right time. And I've come across that a lot again as a teacher and as a coach. And you say, hey, I'll pray for you about that. And then honestly, like 2 or 3 days later, I remember it and I'm like, oh man, I haven't prayed for that yet. But this idea of pray without ceasing is that immediately we should pray for them. That as soon as that burden has come to our mind, as soon as that burden's come to our attention, we should stop what we're doing. We should take just a few seconds and pray. You know, it was also brought to my attention this morning that a lot of times, you know, we think of prayer and we put it in a box. You know, we like to say that prayer has to look like this. Prayer has to look like I sit down and I say these things and I do this and I'm continuing to do that. And you know, that's religion. That's not prayer. I mean, prayer is just a conversation with God. You know, when we're learning this with the teen group, that's one thing that Arthur used to say all the time, was that prayer is just a conversation with God. We shouldn't be scared to pray. It should just be talking to one another, right? We all talk every day. Some of us talk more than others. But the idea is that we should have that continual conversation with God. And even then, it says that it should never stop. One preacher said it this way: we are to pray in times of adversity, lest we become faithless and unbelieving. We are to pray in times of prosperity, lest we become boastful and proud. We are to pray in times of danger, lest we become fearful and doubting. We are to pray in times of security, lest we become self-sufficient. We're to always pray. There's always a reason we should pray, and I hope that we'll remember that. But not only that, we should pray diverse. With all prayer and supplication is how Ephesians chapter 6 puts it. But a diverse prayer, this idea that our prayers shouldn't be something that are consistent. It shouldn't be something that we just say over and over again. You know, Taylor and I, when we started teaching the girls how to pray, I think we may have made a mistake. We may have made an error. And I would have them repeat after me as I was praying. And so one of the hardest things we've had over the last couple of months, as Kinley has been really more devoted in her prayer life, is she, especially when she's tired, falls right back into that same idea of, like, I have to copy Daddy's prayer. I have to say exactly what Dad did. If I'm not saying what Dad did, then I'm not saying my prayers correctly. And she would, you know, physically get upset about it at times because she thinks that that's how she's supposed to pray. You know, and talking with a bunch of you that have done it way better than I have as a parent, one thing that I've learned is that just allowing your kids to talk to God, just however they feel, you know. Some days it may be about grandma and grandpa because they were able to see grandma and grandpa that day. You know, sometimes they may go 2 weeks without mentioning them, and that's okay because it's whatever they're feeling like they need to pray about. It's their conversation with God. And so that's something that we've been really working on with the girls. And you know, we came up with this, and I saw this a couple of weeks ago, and I really loved it. But just the idea of how to follow a prayer, and we've tried to help them with this, is the word acts. And some of you have probably heard that before, but the idea that we should begin with adoration, right? Speaking adoration unto God, and then confession, and then thanksgiving, and then supplication, right? And kind of that flow of how a prayer should be. But even then, like, that's still not just a conversation. You know, there may be some days where God's put a heavy burden on your heart and you just need to spend some time just talking to Him about that specific thing. There may be some days where you're feeling like you're at the top of the world because God's done something amazing in your life and all you want to do is praise Him. You know, again, we try to put prayer in a box, and that's not what prayer was meant to be. That's not how God created it. Prayer is meant to be diverse. 1 Timothy 2:1 says this: I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So a diverse prayer starts with supplications, right? Supplications, okay? Anybody know what supplications is? Y'all are going to leave me hanging again. Man. Okay, no more candy for teen group. Candy's gone, okay? So, definition of supplication, okay? It's from the Latin translation of supplicare, which means to plead humbly. To plead humbly. A supplication is us simply pleading to God for things that we need. It can also be summarized as requests made to God, right? So we're requesting something specific from God. We are pleading humbly with God. We're taking things before God. Supplications are emotional prayers, right? They're things that we take before that are linked directly to what we are going through in our lives. It's something that God has specifically placed on our heart that we need intervening, right? We need something to happen. We need a miracle. And then again, the second part of that is intercessions, right? And intercessions we'll talk about later. But then lastly, in the verse you see, and giving thanks. In the Bible, gratitude is mentioned 157 times, and thanks, or the word thanksgiving, are mentioned 72 times. It's a lot of times to mention just three words. And the idea here is that we are supposed to give thanks, right? You know, specifically to God for what He's done. In the Psalms, it's continuous throughout. Psalm 30, verse 12 says this, "To the end that my glory may sing praise to Thee, and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto Thee forever." Psalm 95:2. "Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms." 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says it this way, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So giving thanks is allowing the peace of God, okay, to conform our hearts to His will. It's allowing God's will to be our will. So to give thanks is to be in the Spirit of God. It all flows together. It's the idea that prayer is the way that we're connected to God. And then fourthly, we're to pray persistently. The verse Ephesians chapter 6 says, "And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication." We're to pray persistently. We're supposed to not only continuously be in prayer, but if something doesn't happen immediately, we should pray over and over and over. You know, I've got a friend. We've been friends since sixth grade, and he's come to church with me one time in that 16 years of life. Okay, and I've been praying for him persistently for those 16 years. And on Easter, okay, he sent me a text message the day before and said, "Hey, I'm going to be there tomorrow," and I was so excited, like. Waited at the door, like we waited out there extra long time, okay, because we're normally out there for 15 minutes after. We stayed out there till 20 minutes after because he's got a tendency to sleep in from time to time, and he never showed up. And so as we go home that day, I was really bummed, but then this idea came into my mind that God didn't tell him that so that he could come. God told me that so that he would see that those prayers are being answered. He thought about coming. That was something more than he had done the last 16 years, right? I told you he's coming one time in 16 years. And the idea that he at least thought about coming was working in that right direction. See, praying persistently is seeing the will of God come out through our lives. And it's not immediate, but it's over time. Luke 18, 1 through 5 says this, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." Right? So Jesus tells the story of this widow that comes and continually hounds this person, basically, right? Saying, "I need help, I need help, I need you to avenge me." Okay? And God uses that as a way for us to persistently pray, right? The Bible clearly says that. He said, the Bible says that men ought always to pray and not faint, right? So the reason of this parable was so that we could learn the idea of persistent prayer. Mark 14:38 says this, "Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." What was Jesus commanding the disciples to do? He was commanding the disciples at that point to pray persistently. Okay? He was commanding them to say that they were able to do it. Okay, the spirit wanted to do it, but the flesh was weak, right? Sometimes our flesh is weak. Sometimes we get burdened down by the things of the world. Sometimes we get trapped into the idea that that person's not going to come to Christ. So why do I continue to pray for him? Sometimes we tell ourselves lies, and the devil does a real good job of trying to trick us at that, right? But the idea here is that Jesus told his disciples to continue to do it. And we're all disciples, so we should have the same call in our hearts. Matthew 7:7 says it this way, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." A persistent idea of not stopping, right? Continuing on, not allowing ourselves to be burdened down. Exodus 17. All right, all the way back in the Old Testament, right? We have Moses standing on the hill, right? He's standing on the hill, and Joshua's fighting. And every time his arms fall, the Amalekites, they start winning, right? And then what happens when he lifts his arms up? That was a question. The Israelites take over, right? They start to prevail, right? And so what happens? Well, the Bible says it this way. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat there on, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the one on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword, right? This idea that persistently praying was the only way to victory, right? And that's the same way in our life. See, sometimes we pray for something once and it doesn't happen and we stop and we say, God, why didn't you give it to us? Sometimes we pray for something for a week or a month and we say, God, why didn't you give it to us, right? But we just saw where a man prayed for people for 50 years before they were ever saved, before they ever accepted the love of Jesus in their life for 50 years. Persistent prayer is the only way that happens. Hudson Taylor said this, "When we work, but when we pray, God works." When we allow God to work in our lives, it's so much better than when we try to. Vance Havner, "It is not that God is stingy and must be coaxed, for he giveth liberally and upbraideth not. It is that we ourselves are so shallow and sinful that we need to tarry before him until our restless natures can be stilled and the clamor of outside voices be deadened so that we can hear his voice. Such a state is not easily reached, and the men God uses have paid a price in wrestlings and prevailing prayer. But it is such men who rise from their knees confident of his power and go forth to speak with authority." That authority is the fact that we're in the will of God. We've prayed for the power of God, right? And now we've prevailed in prayer by doing it over and over and over again. It's a wrestling with God, right? Doesn't happen but through faith and through continuing to trust in God's power. And then lastly, we're to pray for others. That intercessory prayer says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." When I thought about this, I thought about our prayer advance that we went on a couple of months ago with the men's group, right? And this was another thing that was actually brought up this morning in our prayer meeting that we had. But just this idea that why do you feel so close to God when you go to a prayer advance or when you go to a prayer meeting? It's because that's all you're doing. All you're doing is seeking God. You're not going for the laughter. You're not going for the good meals, right? You're not going for the good driving on the way there or the way back, because sometimes you're driving in the middle of the night and it's not quite fun because everybody goes to sleep, and that's just how it goes, right? But you're going because of the closeness that you get to God. There's a continual fellowship that happens at a prayer meeting, right? You're not allowed to subside, right? Because all those things that you're doing, not only are you praying for yourself, but you're praying for all those around you. And then not only are you praying for all those around you, but you're praying for the ones that are back home. You know, as men, we were telling each other the things that we're struggling with every day, right? You're going through and you're getting to know different people that you've never met before, that you may have gone to church with for 5 years and you've never taken time to sit down and communicate with them. You know, you're having this idea where now you're in continual fellowship with them, but not only are you in continual fellowship with them, but you're praying for them. And there's a bond that's created through prayer, right? That's how God meant it to be. In James 5:16, says this, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. See, like what we experienced at the prayer advance was exactly what God wanted us to experience at the prayer advance. Because when you confess your sins one to another, when you confess the things that are going on in your life, when you confess the struggles that you're having, what you realize is that everybody's dealing with those things. And you don't feel so bad anymore. You don't feel so left out. You don't feel like God's not listening to me, right? Because what you really learn is that everybody's going through this. Everybody's dealing with a struggle. Everybody's got a heartache. Even the person that you think has it all figured out, that's got it all together, right? There's still something going on. And it's not something that you should beat your chest and boast about, right? This idea that, like, oh, everybody struggles, so that means it's okay for me to struggle, right? It's not that. But it's this idea that if they can struggle and they're still seeking to get it right, then so can I. But I want to help them and they want to help me. That's intercessory prayer. Ephesians 6, 19 and 20, so right after our verse that we're going over tonight, it says this, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, right? So he was asking for prayer. He was asking that they would pray for him, that he might go and speak boldly, right? This idea that would you intercede and call upon God to use me for the gospel. There's many different ways to have intercessory prayer, right? You can do it tonight, even, as we finish up with the message, right, we'll go through a prayer meeting, right, where we're given the needs of the church on a sheet of paper and the things of the people that we should be praying for, right? We see the missionaries that are overseas or that are on the front lines here in America that are working, right? We hear the needs of the people that are in the congregation. We can pray for others in the church. You know, you can start a prayer group of your own with your closest friends, right? Maybe it's somebody at work that you know that knows Jesus and that loves the Lord. And you just go up to them and say, hey, would you like to get to work 30 minutes early on Tuesday mornings? And let's just pray together, you know, before business ever starts. Just open up that idea that praying with one another and having that close time. You know, maybe it's a family member that you know is close to the Lord and that has helped you grow specifically, you know. Ask for them to start praying with you, praying for you, teaching you ways that they pray for others, right? One thing that I learned in doing this was that sometimes I try to cram so much into intercessory prayer, right? But one thing that I learned by talking to another brother was that the way they do it is they'll pray for government leaders one day. And then the next day they'll pray for things of the church. And then the next day they'll pray for a couple of missionaries that are overseas. And then the next day, they'll pray for the needs of their family. And the next day, they'll pray for something different, right? And it's just consistently changing. Again, there's some kind of layout to it that they know specifically. And they're praying for everybody. But it sometimes can be overwhelming when you start talking about an intercessory prayer. And intercessory prayer doesn't have to be overwhelming. It's just allowing yourself to pray for those that are in need around you. Not only that, but you could also do what we did and attend a prayer advance, because I'll tell you, like, that's been the greatest thing for me in my prayer life, and it's really changed a lot of the men in our church. This idea that as a church, as a group of individuals that are like-minded, that are serving together, where you go and you just lay it all out on the line and you're humble before God, you're humble before one another. There's something powerful in that. In closing, I found this poem for intercessory prayer that I thought really went well. It was by Alfred Lord Tennyson. It's called The Passing of Arthur. But it says this: if thou shouldest never see my face again, pray for my soul. More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. Wherefore, let thy voice rise like a fountain for me night and day. For what are men better than sheep or goats that nourish a blind life within the brain? If knowing God, they lift not hands of prayer, both for themselves and they, and those who call them a friend. For so the world, the whole round world, is every way bound by gold chains about the feet of God. This idea that intercessory prayer is the only way that we can truly serve one another, right? Petitionary prayer for others brings grace to their lives. So, in closing tonight, you know, how can you specifically use petitionary prayer? Right? Maybe it's something where you need to create another way that you pray, right? Like I said, sometimes it can feel overwhelming. So I really like the idea of splitting it up into different days, right? Sometimes we get overwhelmed and we think that, man, I didn't pray for that. And it becomes a checklist that we got to go off of. And that's not what prayer's meant to be, right? Prayer's meant to be just us talking to God. So in closing, I would just like to challenge you guys to look over your own prayer life. And especially as we're going into this prayer meeting that we're about to have, you know, are there people that you could intercede for? Is there something that's going on in your life that you may raise your hand and say, you know, you haven't unspoken, that you really just need to open up and be honest with everybody about, that you just really need prayer for? I think that's why we have the church here. That's why we gather together, is to be there for one another, to pray for one another. And that's why God used this message for me, because that's something I struggle with specifically. And so it helped me see that that's something I need to do more of as well. But I appreciate it, and thank you guys.